Welcome back to the deep dive. Today is Friday, February 20th, 2026. And if you are listening to this while you're driving, please keep your eyes on the road. But if you're at home,
You don't want to sit down for this one.
yeah, you really might want to sit down. We usually spend this time, you know, picking apart weekly trends or these slow-moving news cycles, flips on the radar. But the last 12 hours?
Oh, it wasn't a normal news cycle.
No, not at all. It was a seismic event. I mean, it is a literal earthquake in the gaming world today.
It really is. And, you know, I've been tracking industry movements for a long time, and it's rare, extremely rare to see this many high-magnitude signals cross the radar in just a single half-day window.
Right.
We aren't just talking about a single game coming out. We are looking at a fundamental shift in how games are released. We're looking at a rewriting of the laws of physics regarding graphics and...
And some pretty bad news, too.
Yeah, unfortunately. A really brutal economic reality check that suggests the business side of these games is fracturing.
It just feels like everything happened all at once. Like, we have this massive surprise launch from Sony that nobody, and I literally mean nobody, saw coming. Then NVIDIA is basically claiming they can perform magic with their new tech.
Right.
And looming over all of that joy, we have this grim reality of chip shortages and entire studios shutting down. It's a lot for you to unpack today.
It is a massive collision. And I think that's the perfect frame for our mission in today's deep dive. On one side, you have gaming joy.
Which we love.
Exactly. The sheer excitement of playing something new, seeing technology push the boundaries. But on the other side, you have gaming business. Mm. The cold, hard reality of hardware supply chains and corporate restructuring.
Yeah.
So our goal today is to connect these dots for you. To understand how artificial intelligence is simultaneously saving the visual experience for players while literally strangling the hardware supply chain that builds the consoles.
It's such a fascinating conflict. AI is the savior of the graphics, but also kind of the villain of the supply chain.
Perfectly said.
But let's start with joy, because honestly, I'm still buzzing from this morning. Let's talk about the shadow drop.
Ah, the holy grail of marketing.
Right. So usually a shadow drop, which is where a game is announced and released basically at the exact same second, is reserved for smaller indie games.
Like Hi-Fi Rush a few years back.
Exactly, those $20 titles. But during the February 2026 State of Play, Sony just casually dropped a nuclear bomb. God of War. Sons of Sparta is real. And it is live on the PlayStation 5 right now.
With zero warning. No leaks.
Ren.
No six-month pre-order cycle with three different cinematic trailers. Just, here it is, go play it. Which is incredibly risky for a AAA franchise.
Wait, why is it risky, though? I feel like the hype is instant, so isn't that a good thing for them?
Well, it generates hype, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you lose the pre-order tail.
Oh, the guaranteed money.
Usually, publishers want months of guaranteed revenue locked in before launch day to satisfy the shareholders. They want to be able to show the board of directors, look, we already sold 2 million copies and the game isn't even out yet.
Okay, that makes sense.
So doing a shadow drop requires immense confidence in the actual product. They are betting millions of dollars that word of mouth will travel faster than a traditional marketing campaign.
Well, judging by the servers this morning, the bet definitely paid off.
Did it ever.
We're seeing reports that the PlayStation Network basically crashed under the weight of the simultaneous downloads. Some people were staring at, like, four-hour download timers because the bandwidth was entirely choked.
Yeah, the infrastructure just couldn't handle the spike.
But let's talk about the game itself. Because this is not the God of War that you might expect. It's actually a 2D prequel. And it features a young Kratos.
Which is such a bold artistic choice from the developers.
It's gorgeous. I was watching the gameplay footage over my coffee this morning. And the best way to describe the visuals, and I saw this analogy floating around online, is that it looks like ancient Greek pottery coming to life.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. Imagine a painted amphora, you know, those black and orange figures you see in a museum, but they are moving with the fluidity of modern 60 frames per second animation.
It's a brilliant aesthetic decision because it ties directly into the narrative history of the character.
Mm-hmm.
It actually feels like you are playing a myth that was painted onto a vase 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And the developers cited influences like Hades and Dead Cells.
Which are incredible 2D games.
Exactly, which makes total sense for the 2D action genre.
Mm-hmm.
But they were very clear in their interviews that this still feels like God of War. It has that weight, that distinct crunch when the blades hit.
Right, it's not floaty, it's Kratos, so you know there's going to be some serious rage involved.
Yeah.
But it's also a narrative about his really early years in Sparta, And the social media reaction has been overwhelmingly positive so far. People are loving the combat depth, but they're really latching on to that art style.
It feels like a moving painting.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets really interesting for me, looking at the strategic layer of all this.
Yeah.
Sony didn't just drop this game and walk away. They also used this exact moment to drop a One More Thing announcement. They confirmed that a full remake of the original God of War trilogy is in development.
So we are getting the young, angry Greek Kratos back in full 3D eventually, too. This 2D game is almost like an appetizer for that.
Exactly. It's a long-term play to revitalize the roots of the franchise. But look at the timing of this shadow drop.
Wait.
We are just days away from Xbox's Developer Direct event.
Oh, wow. That has to be deliberate.
It is tactical warfare.
Yeah.
Whether it was calculated down to the minute or just a general release window, the effect is exactly the same. The entire conversation right now online is about Kratos. It's about Sony.
Yeah, Xbox doesn't stand a chance this week.
They effectively sucked all the oxygen out of the room before competitors like Master Chief or Fable could even step onto the stage. It is an absolute masterclass in controlling the industry narrative.
It really is. Everyone is playing Sons of Sparta this weekend, period. But moving from the art of the past to the technology of the future, or rather, the technology of right now, NVIDIA released the specs for DLSS 4.5 right after CES, and the numbers they are putting up.
They sound fake.
They sound like marketing lies, like they made them up.
They do sound like magic, I completely agree. But the tech is very real, and it represents a massive shift in how we render images on the screen.
So let's break this down for the listener who might just want their games to run smooth and doesn't care about the heavy tech jargon. DLSS 4.5. The headline stat is that it can generate 6 AI-created frames for every one real frame your graphics card renders.
Let's just pause on that math for a second because it is genuinely staggering.
Yeah.
If your GPU, the actual physical hardware silicon in your computer, is struggling and only pumping out 30 frames per second.
Which is pretty choppy.
Very choppy for modern standards.
Yeah.
This AI software takes that raw data, looks at it, and multiplies it to 180 frames per second.
That is insane. So you're getting 150 frames that didn't technically exist. Are they basically hallucinations?
Well, hallucinations implies they aren't accurate, but in this case, they are remarkably precise. This is powered by NVIDIA's fifth-generation AI inference model.
Okay, how does that work?
Think of it like a master artist watching a movie. If you showed that artist frame 1 and frame 10, they could perfectly draw frames 2 through 9 because they understand how light moves, how shadows shift, and how physical objects possess momentum.
Wow.
The AI isn't just guessing randomly. It's predicting reality between the frames. It has been trained on millions of hours of gameplay to know exactly what the next microsecond should look like.
Okay, but the big complaint with previous versions of this tech, like DLSS 3, for example, was always latency. You'd hear gamers say, "Oh, it looks really smooth, but the controls feel mushy."
Like moving your mouse through water.
Exactly. Like there's a disconnect between your hand and the screen.
And that is the critical breakthrough here with 4.5. They have reduced latency by 40% compared to DLSS 3. So it doesn't just look like 180 frames per second. It actually feels responsive. It feels snappy.
So they fixed the input lag.
They've managed to decouple the visual smoothness from the input lag in a way we just haven't seen before.
We have some benchmarks here in the notes that are just blowing my mind. Cyberpunk 2077, which is still the ultimate stress test for everything all these years later, is hitting a stable 200 frames per second at 4K resolution on an RTX 5080.
And look at Alan Wake 2. That was a game notorious for bringing top-tier GPUs to their knees. It is now cruising at over 120 frames per second.
That's crazy.
Previously, hitting 60 on that title was a massive struggle, even for high-end enthusiast cards.
But I have to ask the question then. If the software is this good, do we even need the hardware anymore? It feels like we are crossing a line where the raw physical power of the graphics card matters way less than the AI model running on top of it.
That is the big philosophical shift we are witnessing right now. We are potentially seeing the end of the hardware-first era in gaming. NVIDIA is effectively transforming from a hardware manufacturer into an AI software company.
Because the software is doing all the heavy lifting.
Precisely. If software can fabricate frames out of thin air perfectly, do we really need bigger, hotter, more power-hungry GPUs in our desks?
It's a great point. But what about the competition? Where is AMD in all this?
They are in a very tough spot. AMD's FSR4 is trying its best to catch up, but NVIDIA's reliance on dedicated AI cores on the chip, the Tensor cores, gives them a massive architectural advantage in doing this specific math quickly. The gap between them is definitely widening.
And for you, the consumer, specifically if you are listening and looking to upgrade your rig soon, this is a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it?
It really is. On one hand, you can buy a mid-range card like an RTX 5060 and get this absolutely incredible performance because the AI bridges the gap for you. You don't need the $1,500 flagship card to get a premium experience.
But the bad news.
The bad news is that this technology is so desirable that demand is likely going to drive prices up across the board. We might be seeing the end of cheap gaming, even if the mid-range hardware is highly capable.
Which kind of leads us to the darker side of the business today.
Yeah, it does.
We're talking about these record-breaking technologies and amazing surprise game launches, but then we wake up to this news about Bluepoint Games, and this one really hurts.
It does. It's a very somber shift in the narrative today.
For those who might not know, Sony has permanently shut down Bluepoint Games. These are the masterminds who made the Demon's Souls remake, the Shadow of the Colossus remake. They were universally considered a perfect studio.
Unbelievable talent there.
High quality, absolute technical wizards. Why on earth would you close? And they literally never shipped a bad game.
This is exactly where the cold business reality crashes into the creative legacy of the industry. Sony's official line in the press release is restructuring for efficiency.
Right.
But if you look at the broader context of Sony's financials, it's about money lost elsewhere in the company.
You mean the live service gamble.
Precisely. Sony invested billions with a B into live service multiplayer games like Conquered and Fair Game. And those projects largely failed. Conquered, specifically, was a massive financial black hole for them.
So they're punishing the successful studios.
When a major corporation burns that much capital, they look to optimize their portfolio to stop the bleeding, even if it means cutting healthy limbs.
But Bluepoint delivered the gold standard. Demon's Souls on the PS5 is still, to this day, one of the best-looking video games ever made. It seems so completely counterintuitive to kill the studio that actually delivers pure quality just because your other studios failed at making a multiplayer shooter.
It is contradictory to the art of making games, absolutely, but it is not contradictory to the spreadsheet. This is part of an industry-wide trend called ruthless optimization. We've seen 15,000 jobs lost in the gaming industry in just the last 12 months.
15,000?
Yes. Entire legacy studios like Volition, Arcane Austin, and now Bluepoint. The corporate logic is often that single-player studios, even highly successful ones, have a strict cap on how much money they can generate. You buy the game once, you beat it, you're done.
While a live service hit has infinite revenue potential, microtransactions forever.
Exactly.
So they sacrificed the consistent base hit purely because they missed the home run swing on Conquered.
That's the hard takeaway here for anyone following the industry. Quality is not a shield against corporate restructuring anymore. The staff from Bluepoint has reportedly been redistributed to other PlayStation studios to help with existing projects.
And what about their new game?
Their unannounced original IP, the thing they were finally building for themselves after years of doing remakes, is entirely canceled.
That is just tragic. It really is.
It reminds us that behind every shadow drop and every frame generation AI breakthrough, there are real people whose livelihoods are incredibly volatile right now.
Well, let's try to pivot back to something the players can look forward to, even if it is terrifying in a completely different way. Next week, February 27th, we have Resident Evil Requiem coming out.
The hype for this title is very real.
It's built on the second-generation RE engine, and the thing absolutely everyone is talking about online is the learning zombie.
Yes, the dynamic enemy AI. And this connects right back to our theme of AI fundamentally changing the user experience.
Hmm.
In the past, zombies in video games were basically just physical obstacles. They had a set path, they walked slowly toward you, you shot them.
Right.
In Requiem, they learn.
So give me a concrete example. If I'm playing the game on my couch, how does the zombie know what I'm doing?
Okay, so we are all trained to aim for the head in zombie games, right? It's a pure instinct at this point.
Always aim for the head.
The AI in Requiem actually tracks that data continuously. If you consistently land headshots in the first hour of the game, the zombies will start raising their arms and hands to protect their faces as they approach you.
Oh, I hate that so much.
It gets worse.
Great.
If you run the same route through a mansion hallway to escape a pursuer, they will memorize that behavior and start blocking that specific route with debris or moving dead bodies to trip you up.
No way.
Yes. And if you camp in a room, you know, you find a safe corner with a shotgun and just wait for them to come through the main door, they will realize you are dug in and they will breach from unexpected angles. like smashing through windows or dropping out of vents that you didn't even think were active.
So the game is analyzing my personal playstyle in real time and actively countering it. That is horrifying. I can't just rely on muscle memory.
Exactly. It forces you to adapt constantly. You can't just go on autopilot. And the atmosphere plays a huge role in this dynamic system, too. The interplay of light and shadow is a core gameplay mechanic now.
Right. I read in the preview materials that you can shoot out the lights to hide in the dark, which sounds like a solid strategy at first.
It is a solid strategy until it isn't. When you turn off the lights, yes, you become visually invisible to them. But the AI immediately shifts its sensory priority. Since they can't see you, their hearing sharpens dramatically.
Perfect. So now I'm hiding in the pitch black and they can hear me breathe.
Exactly. And speaking of hearing, the 3D spatial audio implementation is reportedly terrifying. Capcom is using something called audio ray tracing.
Audio ray tracing?
Yeah, so just like graphical ray tracing calculates how light bounces off walls, this calculates how sound waves bounce off the in-game geometry. You can hear zombies whispering behind specific walls in this garbled, corrupted speech. And because of the accurate bouncing, you can tell exactly how far away they are and what material is between you and them.
I am absolutely going to have to play this with all the lights on in my house and the volume turned way down.
I really don't blame you. And technically speaking, it's a powerhouse of a game. They are promising full path tracing at 60 frames per second on the PS5 Pro.
Which is a huge achievement.
And on PC, if you use that DLSS 4.5 tech we just mentioned, it's running at well over 120 frames per second. It's absolutely going to be the benchmark for horror games for years to come.
So we have amazing software right now. We have learning zombies and we have hallucinated AI frames. But let's zoom out to the physical hardware that actually runs it all. Because while we're getting these incredible games, actually buying the new consoles to play them on is getting really complicated. Let's talk about the Switch 2 first.
A massive success story so far. Over 17.3 million units sold in just 7 months.
Which is wild numbers. But the real test is coming up next week, Fallout 4. Anniversary Edition launches on the Switch 2 on February 24th.
This is the real stress test. Up until now on the Switch 2, we've mostly seen first-party Nintendo games. And Nintendo games are always optimized to perfection because they're built exclusively for that specific silicon.
Right.
But Fallout 4, that is a massive, sprawling, historically messy open-world engine.
It's famously buggy and incredibly heavy on the CPU.
Right. So if the Switch 2 can run Fallout 4 smoothly, handling all those individual physics objects and the massive open terrain, it proves the console can handle the big third-party AAA titles. It proves it's a real next-gen contender, not just a Nintendo machine.
The specs look pretty promising, actually. They're targeting a dynamic 1080p in handheld mode and 1440p when it's docked to the TV. Plus, it includes all six DLCs right on the cartridge.
It's also fascinating to just see the corporate partnership here. Microsoft owns Bethesda, who makes the Fallout series. So Microsoft is putting Fallout, and later they're putting Indiana Jones in Oblivion Remastered directly onto a Nintendo platform. The traditional walls between these console ecosystems are just crumbling.
Microsoft clearly just wants to sell software everywhere they can. But while Nintendo is flying high with the Switch 2, Sony is hitting a massive brick wall regarding the PlayStation 6. And the culprit is AI.
Here's where we circle back to that core mission we talked about at the start of the show, the AI chip crisis.
So explain this to me like I'm 5 years old. Why is ChatGPT delaying the PlayStation 6?
Okay, think of a microchip factory like a commercial bakery. You only have so many ovens to bake your goods. Right now, everyone in the entire world is incredibly hungry for a specific type of very expensive cake called HBM3E.
HBM what?
HBM3E. It stands for High Bandwidth Memory. These are ultra-fast memory chips that are absolutely required for NVIDIA's massive AI servers, the supercomputers that run things like ChatGPT and that process, the DLSS training we talked about earlier.
Okay, so the AI needs the fancy memory cake. Got it.
Correct.
Yeah.
But here is the fundamental problem. Selling a memory chip for a massive corporate AI server is about 10 times more profitable than selling a standard memory chip for a consumer game console.
10 times.
10 times the profit margin. So if you are a manufacturer like Samsung or SK Hynix, and you have limited ovens in your bakery, what are you going to bake?
You bake the expensive AI cake.
Exactly. You stop baking the cheaper chips that are needed for the PlayStation 6 or for consumer laptops or even the Steam Deck. You dedicate your entire supply chain to the enterprise AI market.
So the physical supply of the silicon we need to just play video games is plummeting because the factories are completely pivoting to AI servers.
That is the crisis. Industry reports are now saying the PlayStation 6 won't arrive until 2028 or possibly even 2029. It was supposed to be much sooner. Sony is basically being forced to stretch out the life cycle of the PS5 Pro because they physically cannot get the parts to build the next generation at a price point that consumers would actually pay.
This is hitting everything, isn't it? Like even standard DDR5 RAM for PC builders.
Yes. Retail DDR5 prices are up 25% in just the last 2 months alone. The Steam Deck OLED is facing massive backorders and shortages. It's a cascading effect across the entire consumer electronics industry.
See, for you listening right now, especially if you are in a region like the Middle East or globally where supply chains can already be a bit tricky and expensive, what is the move here? Do we wait for prices to drop?
The move is absolutely buy now. If you have been waiting to buy a Switch 2 or a PS5 Pro, or you've been putting off upgrading your PC RAM, do not wait any longer. The scarcity is very real, and the prices are universally predicted to rise as these components get harder and harder to find. The AI data centers are literally eating the world's supply of silicon.
It's incredible. The exact same technology that gives us the beautiful, smooth graphics in God of War and the scary learning zombies in Resident Evil is also the exact reason we can't build the new consoles to play them on.
It is the great paradox of 2026 gaming.
So let's just quickly recap this roller coaster for you. We started with Kratos returning in a surprise drop that completely broke the internet. We have NVIDIA's AI hallucinating extra frames out of thin air to make games look impossibly smooth.
We have the tragedy of Bluepoint closing down despite an absolutely perfect track record.
We have zombies actively learning how to hunt us in the dark. And finally, we have the realization that our future gaming consoles are being held hostage by the sheer profitability of enterprise AI servers.
It is a lot to process in one day. But if I can leave you with one final thought to chew on.
Please do.
We spend so much time in this community celebrating AI in gaming. We love DLSS for the extra frames. We love the dynamic enemy encounters. We constantly say AI is the future of gaming. But look at the physical reality of the supply chain. That same insatiable demand for AI is literally preventing the manufacturing of the next generation of hardware. It raises a massive question for the next decade. Is AI the ultimate savior of gaming, enhancing our experiences beyond what we thought possible? Or is it the ultimate bottleneck that will stall the industry's hardware progress for years to come?
That is a little terrifying, actually. We might just end up endlessly optimizing our software because we literally cannot afford to build better hardware anymore.
It's a very real possibility we have to face.
Well, on that cheerful note. But seriously, thank you for breaking all of that down. It's a very complex time to be a gamer. But hey, at least we have Sons of Sparta to play this weekend.
Absolutely. Go download it right now.
Right?
Assuming the Sony servers are actually back up.
True. To the Tekken Army listening, rest well, get some gaming in, and prepare yourselves. The news cycle clearly isn't slowing down anytime soon. We'll catch you in the next deep dive.